Have you ever faced challenges so serious in your life that really they made you question whether or not your faith was strong enough or whether or not God really could do that particular thing that was on your mind or in your heart or in your prayers or whatever that circumstance or situation was? Well, today we want to take a look at that. I want to encourage you to grab your Bible, turn it over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and today we're going to look at faith that moves mountains. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, I want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us today as we take an endeavor and a look at the Word of God. A moment ago I mentioned we were going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. And we're going to take a look at faith today. In our journey as Christians, we often encounter challenges that seem like they're just so insurmountable. Or there's obstacles that feel as though they just stand in the way of our faith's effectiveness, okay? Today, we're going to conclude our series called Faith Under Fire by exploring the impact that faith, even as small as a grain of mustard seed, can have when it's placed in God's mighty power. So today, I mentioned we're going to look at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, we're going to look at verse 20. Matthew 17, verse 20. It says, "So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask that you would fill our hearts with all that you are. Lord, we're thankful that as believers, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our guide. So Lord, today we pray that the Holy Spirit would have free reign of our hearts and our lives. We pray, Father, that you would put aside any distraction that may hinder us from being able to hear you today. Lord, I pray that we would see ourselves through your eyes. And Father, if there's a place where correction needs to be made, we pray that that would be so. We pray that you would give us the courage and the direction to make those changes in our faith today that we might walk closer to you. And Lord, as always, we pray if there's one here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today truly would be the day they would give their life to you and understand what true love and true life, as well as eternal life, is truly all about. So Lord, bless our time together as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as we kind of take a historical look at what's going on here in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus had just performed a miracle by casting out a demon from a boy whom the disciples could not heal. Now, most of us can remember that passage. You know, we find this encounter where Jesus comes back. There's a lot of confusion going on, particularly with the disciples, because, you know, they had been here before. They had been in that place where they've been able to heal somebody. Of course, all this being in the name of Jesus. But they came up against this one particular case where they could not cast the demon out of the boy. So as they're discussing this among themselves and Jesus comes in and approaches them, all of a sudden Jesus gets updated on, you know, what had happened. And they find out, or Jesus finds out, the disciples couldn't heal this boy. So the disciples, they were bewildered by their inability, and they asked Jesus this question. Why? They said, why couldn't we perform this particular miracle? So Jesus reply really exposes the essential ingredients for miraculous works. I think this is incredibly important to us today. I think that the same holds true for you and I today. If you want to know what the ingredients for a miracle are, here's what it is. And I'm going to give it to you right now. It is faith, okay? Not just any faith, but faith as tiny as a mustard seed. This was a common agricultural reference in that era to signify the very smallest of seed. Now, I don't know about you, but I can remember in my lifetime growing up in times with vacation Bible school or or maybe Sunday school class or what have you. I can still remember times when our teachers over the years would bring in mustard seeds. They actually would give us a mustard seed to be able to take home, but for us to be able to hold it in our hand and to see how small it is. Now, the best way for me to describe this, if you have never seen a mustard seed, would be if you took a ballpoint pen and you held it up and you looked at the end of that ballpoint pen. That is the size of a mustard seed. So when you think about that, you know, you think about it just says that much faith, you know, just the faith, the size of a tiny, tiny mustard seed can move mountains, according to what the scripture says, okay? So Jesus uses the mustard seed as a metaphor to illustrate the potency of genuine faith. And I think that's a key term that we have to think about, genuine faith. Now, I know that you and I can sometimes get into circumstances and situations and we look at them and we truly believe that God is able. We truly believe God can, but yet when we look at the obstacle in front of us, when we look at this particular thing that we're praying for, it seems like a giant. And then there's that struggle within us. Now, we've heard this before, you know, through the scripture where the man said, or the disciples, or the man said, "Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief." It's that struggle between, I know God can, but this just looks so huge compared to what I'm used to. So in this particular case, Jesus is using that mustard seed as that metaphor to illustrate how potent genuine faith really, really is. You see, the mustard seed, although it is so minuscule, grows into a large, large plant. Now, similarly, faith, even if it's seemingly small or weak, when it is genuine, contains the inherent power to accomplish extraordinary feats through God, okay? The mountain is emblematic of obstacles and the challenges that appear overwhelming to you and I. And yet through faith, those are things that according to the scriptures can be moved. This is something that can happen. God, that's why they call them miracles. If it was something that we could do without our own power, it wouldn't be a miracle. If there were things that took place on a daily basis, that wouldn't necessarily be called a miracle. It is something that only God can do. And when we go to Him with genuine, incredible faith, praying, believing that God is able and that God can and that even God will, you will begin to see a difference. A difference will truly be made. I've referenced this many times, but I used to love how one of my previous prayer partners used to pray in various and sundrious ways, no matter what the circumstance or situation was. He would always say this. He would say, "God, I know you can. It's not a matter of whether you can. It's whether or not you will. Will you do this thing? Will you answer this? Can you? Absolutely. We know that that is possible." So when we look at today's scripture, the main argument is that faith, when sincerely placed in God, possesses a very transformative power. It is not the size of our faith that makes the difference, but the greatness of the God in whom our faith rests, that is what makes all the difference in the world. And that is what the Lord is trying to get across to us. I know that some of us at times will say, "Lord, our faith isn't what it ought to be. You know, it's not very that strong." And yet we're encouraged by what Jesus said, because He said, faith, even the size of a mustard seed, or to make it relevant, the size of a ballpoint pen. You know, if you have that much faith, incredible things can take place. And folks, faith opens the door to divine intervention, making what seems impossible, possible. Now, you got to remember that it's not possible through us. It is possible through our Lord and Savior. That is how it becomes possible. So today, as we consider this, what does that mean to us? How is it that we can make application to this particular scripture in our lives on a daily basis? So, yeah, first of all, and I like to give you a couple of things. First of all, we must cultivate our faith through consistent prayer, communion with God, and immersion in His Word. That means, you know, first of all, you have got to, yeah, that's how you grow faith. That's how you stretch faith. It's just like muscles. You know, I can still remember at times that, you know, growing up and playing sports that the coaches would work on getting all of us into the weight room. And then you could see this, there was always this one scrawny guy that would come in there and he would just basically be able to bench press the bar only. And then give him a few years under the tutelage of those coaches and working him out, that this guy became a monster. I mean, he was just a mass of muscle. Well, how did that happen? Well, it happened because he exercised that muscle. Folks, you and I need to exercise our faith to be able to stretch it, to be able to grow it. And along with that comes some pain. I can always remember getting in the weight room, and then, particularly if it was the first time in a long time, all of a sudden everything was sore. Man, it hurt. So you're going to have to cultivate faith through consistent prayer. You have got to do that. Prayer is the ministry. All right? You've got to be in communication with God. And then you need to immerse yourself in His Word. I like what the Bible says about the Word. It says that the Word is truly quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a living Word. The way that it gets in you is you have to be in it. And for it to be recalled to your heart and to your mind by the Holy Spirit and to be used, it needs to be in here. I always loved that Pledge of Allegiance that we used to say to the Bible back in the old days of opening exercises of Vacation Bible School. But you remember how that pledge would go? It says, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. That's why scripture memory is so important. That's why being in the Word is critical. You have got to be able to do that. Okay, so that's the first thing. You've got to spend time in prayer, spend time in the Word of God. Second, you need to trust God's character and His promises, knowing that He is able and willing to act on our behalf. Okay, that means that, you know, when we trust Him and He says, look, if you're going to turn it over to me and you trust me to be able to handle it, then I will. I can. I am very capable and I will. But you've got to turn it over to me. All right. Are we going to trust in God's character and in His promises? You know, when you sit back and you talk about what is the character of God, I want to make sure I interject something right here, because the character that God is love and God is powerful and all these things are incredible and they are true. There's one characteristic that seems to be left out today, particularly by those who are sinners and who haven't trusted Him, that same God that is a God of love is also a God of judgment. Okay, but I want you to think about God's character. He has the best character that has ever walked this planet in the body of Jesus Christ. His love is perfect. He has the answers to everything. And if we had a person in our lives that were like that, we would certainly take and carry everything to them. All of us know somebody of character, of great character, somebody that you would sit back and say, I want my life to resemble them because of their character. So when you think about these things and you think about trusting in God's character, in who He is, and trusting in His promises. And He's given us a lot of promises in His Word. I've often said that's one of the things that we need to look at as we're spending time in our Bible study each day. Look for those promises that God has given us, promises that we could claim. And we also need to know that He is able and willing to act upon those things that we carry to Him on our behalf. We've turned it over to Him. He can act and react on our behalf. So that's the second thing that we need to do to make application of this scripture today. The third thing that we can do is we can step out in faith, taking bold actions that reflect our trust in God's power rather than succumbing to fear and doubt. That is where the struggle generally is. You know, we're sitting there thinking, well, Lord, I really need this. But in our mind, we're hearing that, but I don't think that's going to happen. You know, think of something big. You know, how many times have you gone and you've prayed to the Lord? Lord, I'm praying for this loved one or this friend or this coworker who has cancer. Lord, I'm asking You to heal them of this stage 4 cancer. And yet in the back of our minds, we're sitting there going, yeah, but it's probably not going to happen because this is stage four and all the medical records say this, that, or the other thing. You know, we have got to battle that doubt back. You know, like my buddy used to pray, Lord, I know you can. I'm just asking if you will. So when we carry these things to our Father, we need to take them to Him in faith and with bold action, trust God's power rather than letting the fear and the doubt overcome us and rather than letting the fear and the doubt dictate the size of our faith. Okay, now, I know that some of y'all just thought, well, you just said a moment ago, according to the Word of God, faith the size of a grain of mustard seed can move a mountain. And now you're talking about great faith. Yes, I am. Because the thing about it is, the more that we trust Him, the more that we see how He shows up, the easier it is for us to continue to do that. And this is something that does grow our faith. Today, you may have faith the size of a mustard seed, but let's not leave it that way. Let's try to cultivate that so that it becomes even larger than a grain of mustard seed. But if even if you have that much, some of you today are watching and you're like, my faith is destroyed. Yeah, I'm not going to say that. You might say, I'm not going to say that outwardly. I'm not going to tell anybody that. But my faith has really been beat up. Here's your chance to start over again. And the Lord says, faith, that much faith can see mountains move. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know how many mountains you've prayed to be gone, but that certainly seems like an impossible task for you and I. But as I remind you, it's not an impossible task for God. So that's why we need to turn all of our circumstances and situations over to Him, trusting in His character, trusting in His promises. Now, do not take this scripture to say that just anything that you pray for, God is going to give you, you know, like He's a genie in a magic lamp or something, and all you have to do is let Him out, and you're going to get whatever you want. That is taking this scripture completely out of context. We need to remember that God also has a plan for each and every one of us. He has a plan for these things. Now, that means that there have been times that I have gone to the Lord, and I have prayed in circumstances or situations, and I have prayed with great faith that God would show up and do a healing or take care of a situation. And it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out. That's a key thing. It didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out, but it turned out the way God had it planned. Now, let me carry you back for just a moment that when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, He taught them to pray saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The idea is for us to walk so closely with Him that we understand what His plan as prescribed in heaven is for here on earth. It is about being able to sit back and say, Lord, you know what? There are times I don't even know how to pray. I've done that before. And you know what? That's okay. When you don't know how to pray, those are the times that the Bible tells us that the Lord will make intercession for us. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and He makes intercession for us. There have been times when I have been in a hospital and been around a patient that was suffering greatly from something like cancer. And you know what? The family is there. They're desperate. They want to see their loved one out of pain. They want to see that loved one healed. And you know what, as much as I want to be able to sit back and say, Lord, I am praying that You will touch them and that You will heal them, I will ask for that, but also say at times, Lord, I don't even know how to pray. I don't want to pray outside of Your will, but you know the greatest healing that could happen to that person is for the Lord to go ahead and call them home. And I think sometimes God allows us to see our loved ones suffer so that we're more willing to let them go. I've seen this numerous times in hospitals and around hospital beds, but God's plan is perfect. God's plan is what's best. But when we go to Him, we need to go to Him without doubt. We need to go to Him without fear, and we need to trust in His power rather than the fears and the doubts that come upon us. So today, as we look at this particular scripture and as we wrap up we have the conclusion of the series that we've been in for the past several months, we need to carry with us the assurance that even faith as small as a mustard seed is sufficient when it is placed in God, when it is placed in His hands. Let us be people of faith, believing in the God who can move mountains in our lives and in the lives of those that are around us. I pray that that God is strengthening your faith as we journey into this new year. It's still early in the new year. I pray that God is going to exercise and strengthen your faith, that you become a mighty prayer warrior and yet one who has calm with it. You've turned everything over to the Father and you're allowing Him to handle it in His will and in His way. Let me have a word of prayer with you, and then I'll discuss with you a little bit about what we're going to start for next week. Okay, let's look to the Lord in prayer together. Father, as we come to you today, we want to thank you for the reminder that our faith in you can lead to extraordinary outcomes. Lord, we ask for your help in cultivating a faith that trusts you completely. Lord, that there's no wavering whatsoever. We trust you completely. May we see your mighty hand at work, accomplishing what we thought was impossible. Lord, strengthen our hearts and guide our steps that we may live lives that reflect your glory. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us for our Wednesday Bible study. We're going to be starting something new next week, so I want to tell you a little bit about where I want you to spend some time this week. This week, I want you to spend some time in the book of Ephesians, Chapter 4. Next week, we're going to start, I believe I've got an 8-week series. I think so. For about the next 2 months, we're going to look at transforming turmoil, okay? So if you wanted to put a subtitle to this, it would be Finding Peace in the Storm. The Lord tells us we're going to have storms. Storms are going to come in our lives. He never said He would make all of our storms go away. He did say that He would be with us through the storms. So what we need to do is look in God's Word at transforming turmoil. And next week, we're going to look at understanding anger out of Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, we're going to explore the nature of anger and its potential to lead us away from God's peace. We're going to discuss the difference between righteous and unrighteous anger. So I hope and pray that you will be read up in Ephesians chapter 4 and that you will join us next week as we begin our new series, Transforming Turmoil. As always, we want to invite you, if you don't have a church home or if you happen to be in the area, please come join us at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you're familiar with that area, we are right across Highway 68 from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Be sure to introduce yourself. Say, hey, preacher, I see you on the Wednesday Bible study, and I wanted to come worship with you all and wanted to meet you. So I hope and pray we'll see you Sunday at 10:45 in the house of the Lord at Central Baptist Church. God bless. Have a great week.